Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hi all, and welcome to another episode of the HR Room Podcast. This one falls under the How to Do HR banner and is the first episode in our two-part series on toxic workplaces. In this episode, we'll be looking at some of the steps you can take to help prevent a toxic workplace culture seeping into your place of work. I'm joined by Mary Cullen, Insight HR's founder and managing director, and a brand new voice, Olivia Ormond, HR consultant with the business. Delighted to have you both join us.
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Olivia.
Thank you.
Now, when we're talking about a toxic workplace culture, I suppose we're really talking about the kind of workplace where it can be difficult to complete your role to the best of your abilities, maybe due to ongoing conflict within the business that has a ripple effect on the organization, your direct relationships with your colleagues. Mary, what are some of the signs of a toxic workplace culture?
There's so many, Sarah. It can be hard to come up with a comprehensive list, but I'll give it a shot and see how I go. I suppose probably one of the things to look out for as a HR practitioner would be, you know, insufficient, confusing or scattered communication. And that's particularly from the leadership team, but it can be right across the organization at every level of the organization. It's always important to look out for things like cliques or exclusion or that kind of gossipy workplace culture or behavior. And don't forget that can also be online. Just because you're dealing with a dispersed workforce, it doesn't mean that that behavior might not be happening. An obvious one is poor leadership or a hierarchy of poor managers, which we can often see in organizations where there is a particular style of manager or leader in place. That whole area of stifled growth, where there's no opportunity for the employees to grow or develop in their role, or there isn't a learning culture, which is supported by the organization and the managers in particular. It's always worth looking at the data that you have to hand, particularly when it comes to things like employee turnover, absence, you know, by department, by across the organization, because those indicate something. Now, that's data, reactive data. You know, you might not know the why, but certainly you have a problem if you're noticing those kind of trends across the organization or within departments. That lack of work-life balance, where we all work above and beyond our contracted hours, and that's a social norm in our organization. And I think that's something that you're seeing quite a lot of employees now talking about and looking for more flexibility, not to be contacted after the contracted work hours, and, you know, that greater balance between work and life. I think you could also look towards things like stress and burnout, and we did two earlier podcasts on those two topics that would be well worth a listen to. But again, if you're seeing medical certificates coming back in saying that somebody is suffering from workplace stress, there's more than one or two within the organization, it's a real sign that you might have a toxic workplace culture. And then I think when it comes to you know, the organization itself in terms of what does that look like? Is it achieving its objectives? Is the organization stagnant? Is it growing? You know, sometimes that can be an indication that you have a toxic workplace culture. Not always, because there are other factors, but it is certainly something to dig into, take a look at. If we're not growing, why are we not growing? If part of our strategy is to grow and that's not happening, what's blocking it? What's in the way? What do we need to change to look at that culture?
So those are some of the signs, and, you know, you've kind of hinted at, I suppose, an answer to my next question for Olivia, that, you know, a danger could be that the organization isn't actually growing. Olivia, what do you think are some of the dangers then associated with a toxic workplace culture?
This toxic workplace culture, or, you know, an unhealthy or a harmful environment, I suppose, is another way that you could describe it. You know, I've read that the people have described it like a never ending Monday morning, you know, so that like every day is like a Monday, and it, you know, mentally and emotionally draining for employees. And look, I think some of the very obvious dangers associated with a culture in an organization that's unhealthy, some of the obvious ones are, you know, decreased productivity, increased absenteeism. You can have increased conflict, which can lead to complaints, litigation, investigations, that type of thing in an organization. You will have, as Mary was saying, if an organization isn't growing, if employees are not able to perform to the best of their ability, and because they're either absent or because, you know, for different reasons, they haven't the support to do their job, then it's going to have an effect on the bottom line of the company. So that's a danger for a company as well. Obviously, you will have, you know, the health and well-being of your employees, and sickness, as Mary mentioned as well, stress, burnout, that type of thing manifesting itself. You know, low morale is a danger in that type of a culture, where people are just unhappy. There's none of the things that you would see in a successful organization. I think you have a danger as well of reputational damage for an organization. You know, if an organization is trying to retain good talent, if they're trying to get new talent, I think that they need to be very aware of what their reputation is out there. And it can be a very difficult for them if they have a reputation as not a good place to work. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, a danger of a harmful and negative environment and a toxic culture is that a lack of trust can exist between managers and employees, between employees, you know, themselves. And I think that then as well can lead to, you know, losing employees' buy-in, a lack of initiative coming through, and again, affecting a company bottom line really, and their productivity and effectiveness. So they are some of the dangers.
Thanks a million, Olivia. Yeah, I mean, if a place isn't a pleasant environment to work in, like, you're going to be losing talent. And at that, like, I mean, with everything being online these days, you know, you've got Glassdoor for employer reviews, all that kind of stuff. Like, talent isn't going to want to work in your organization in the first place if you've got a bad reputation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mary, you kind of mentioned it there a little bit earlier, but do you think that it's only physical workplaces that have a toxic culture? Like, how does it present itself in a remote environment?
Yeah, it's definitely not only a physical workplace that has that kind of toxic culture. And, you know, we have seen over the course of the last year and a half, really, that toxic workplace culture can transfer online. And, you know, I think you may want to be thinking about, particularly when it comes to things like cliques and exclusions or poor behavior amongst the workforce, you know, gossiping, bad mouthing. It's possible to do all of that online. There's, you know, it's very easy to, I suppose, message people through the communication tools that are in place now, through Slack or Teams or whatever communication tools you have. You can have people excluded digitally. You can have people embarrassed digitally at meetings. So a lot of the behaviours continue. We have a specialist division at Insight HR for workplace investigations. And you might think that because people aren't coming together in the same way that they have traditionally done over the last year and a half, that that division wouldn't have much work. But actually, we're busier than ever. And, you know, often in a toxic workplace environment, what you are seeing are grievances, dignity at work complaints, complaints from employees about inequality or unfair treatment or poor management behavior or poor colleague behavior. And, you know, we're seeing that irrespective of the location of individuals, that you can still send a nasty message digitally. You can still, you know, behave badly towards someone on a video call. You can completely ignore that person as well, if you choose, by never including them. So there's many things that, you know, aren't all that different, really, when it comes to the digital environment in which we're operating. And that's likely to continue into the future because, you know, most organizations are now looking at hybrid and remote models of work.
Yeah. And when you put it like that, I mean, it strikes me that it's maybe even easier for that toxicity to creep into a working environment because it is easier to just ignore somebody, isn't it? Like, or to not include them in email trails. Yeah, like, you know, you hear about all these kind of trolls online and stuff like that. It's nearly easier to hide behind your laptop screen and be nasty in that sense than it is in a physical office environment. So you could even have people who in a physical office environment, you know, don't display any of those traits, now all of a sudden might be displaying them in an online environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you also have to remember that, you know, people might be more vulnerable now than they were, you know, a year and a half ago, because, you know, they've had a full year in lockdown or, you know, the guts of a year in lockdown or a year and a half in lockdown. And that has been challenging. And many people have gone through, you know, traumatic experiences of one type or another. And so, you know, that isolation that someone may be feeling in their home can be compounded by poor treatment in a toxic workplace culture as well.
Yeah, and it's a really difficult one too, because you also have individual personalities coming into it. Like some people are more, some people find it easier to communicate via video call than others, or some people find it easier to kind of send instant messages. And if people's expectations are different, then it could seem like somebody's ignoring you, whereas actually they might not be ignoring you. They might just not be as comfortable in a digital space as they would be in a physical office as well. So it's an interesting one, and something we'll probably see a lot of issues arising from.
Yeah, well, I think probably the rules around communication in a new world probably haven't been fleshed out fully yet. You know, the purpose of meetings and the length and duration of them and who needs to be on them. All of those things, I think, haven't been fully thought out right across organisations yet. And, you know, in lots of cases, we're seeing overloaded, burned out employees who are jumping from call to call to call. You know, and really, what's the purpose? How many of them are relevant? How many do they really need to be on? And you know, trust is a huge important factor in a healthy organization. Without trust, you're inclined to have that kind of toxic environment. And you can't, I guess, manage through meetings alone. There have to be other ways of managing effectively too.
Olivia, as a HR consultant, I mean, you're working with kind of businesses across Ireland every day. If a HR leader was to come to you for advice on how to actually prevent a toxic culture in the workplace, what are some of the areas that you'd suggest they focus on?
Well, I think I would start by suggesting that they look out for behaviours and they look out for how employees behave and how managers behave and how they interact with each other. And I think that if there is a HR team in place, that they have their HR team tuned to those things as well. And, you know, to keep in touch with managers and teams to get a feel for what is going on in the organization. So I suppose stay close to the organization is what I would say is one of the things to focus on. And then I suppose more specifically, they can focus on things like the communication in an organization and whether it is clear, whether it is going through the wrong channels or the right channels. How do people communicate? You know, not just the actual way, whether it's by video link or whether it's in person, but where the messages come from, you know, and whether they are really disseminated in a clear manner to staff. I think policies and procedures are important, and I think it's important that the policies and procedures are in place and that they are applied and followed consistently across the organisation. And I think that's important because I think a lack of that and a lack of consistency in an application of policies and procedures can cause resentment and a lack of trust. And as Mary mentioned, trust is so important. And I think it can actually undermine the policies and the procedures themselves. So I think that's an area to look at and to focus on. From my own experience, I know that one of the roles that I had was actually to make sure, as I, best I could, that policies and procedures in one of the organisations that I worked in, that they were applied consistently. So that if there were four main departments that, you know, in relation to certain policies and procedures, they weren't being applied inconsistently. So to keep an eye on that. I think also that something that could be focused on and looked at is employee surveys. So I think they can have a value in that it can be a touchstone for seeing where employees are at in relation to certain things. I think if an organisation or a HR leader is thinking of doing something like that they should go into it with an attitude that they will do something about the results if they can, you know what I mean? Because I think it can have a negative effect if you were to do something like that and then not try and act on it.
Olivia, just on that point, I always think it's important that, you know, when you're doing those surveys, whatever they're about or whatever areas you look to examine as a HR person or professional within your organization, that you've got certain data. So you've collected certain data from the employees, but then do you need to look into it further? And I think there's probably not enough of that happening. You know, do you need to follow up with focus groups so that you fully understand what's actually happening at an organizational level or what that data is actually telling you? Because sometimes we're not diving deep enough into the data itself and just accepting that, oh, okay, well, we've got this percentage of employees that are happier and we're up 15 points from where we were in the last survey we did. If that's the metric, then you're not really looking into the issues in the organization and really looking at what you could do or change and really hearing from the employees. And, you know, focus groups or other kinds of engagements are really useful for getting more information. Now, Olivia, sorry for interrupting you.
Yeah, I agree. Like you have to delve a bit deeper sometimes with what you get. I think as well, that there's, you know, things to focus on are to try and have, you know, a positive culture and respectful and professional culture. And, you know, that employees are aware of where they can go if they do have an issue and how to go about things if they have an issue. Mm-hmm. I think that training managers is very important as one of the things that can be focused on. I think in a lot of organizations, managers get promoted to a certain level based on their technical ability, and that the other side of things isn't looked at. So in terms of their people skills, and I think that's an important area that managers are, if they're responsible for a group of people, that they have the correct training. And I think that trust as well, as we've mentioned before, is important in terms of to show up and to actually, you know, do the things that you say you're going to do. So I think that leaders have a responsibility to demonstrate the values that they want in the organization or the mm-hmm. culture that they want. And, you know, people look to them. So I think that's very important as well.
Thanks a million, Olivia. Some really good practical advice there. Mary, what do you think? Do you have anything else that you would add to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, you know, I would echo what Olivia says about trust in particular. You know, I think if you look to a lot of organizational issues and a lot of toxic work environments, we would see that trust is missing. And at whatever level, trust is missing, and it's usually trust in the leadership. So I think it's really important that, you know, we look to build trust and really consider how it is we could go about doing that.
So important. And something that we always discuss on this podcast as well is how important it is to have training as well, management training too. Do either of you have any kind of suggestions for further reading on how to prevent a toxic culture?
Yeah, there is a good book, Sarah, by Clive Lewis. It's called Toxic, A Guide to Rebuilding Respect and Tolerance in a Hostile Workplace. So I think that's something that people could take a look at if they were looking for something additional.
That's brilliant. Thanks, Olivia. Well, thanks to you both for joining us this afternoon. Before we wrap up the episode, I wanted to share three key takeaways from today's episode. So takeaway number one, the signs of a toxic workplace culture. So from a business perspective, one of the signs could be that there's insufficient, confusing or scattered communications. Another sign is that you could be dealing with cliques and exclusions happening, a kind of a gossip culture across the organization. There could be poor leadership, stifled growth or a feeling of stifled growth. You know, a very kind of obvious sign would be high employee turnover and absences. You might not know why these problems exist, but they are signs that you could have a toxic workplace culture. My second takeaway is the dangers of a toxic workplace culture. So, you know, if a toxic workplace culture is left to kind of breed, it could lead to decreased productivity, increased conflict, even leading to litigation. And in general, employees just not having the support to fulfill the duties of their role. And another big factor, another big danger for not putting in place steps to prevent a toxic workplace culture is that you could have a damaged reputation at the end of it, you know, and this would not only harm your ability to retain talent, but also your ability to attract talent. And then my final takeaway is the prevention of toxic workplace culture. So start by looking out for behaviors, you know, and how employees and managers actually interact with each other. Stay close to the organization, as Olivia mentioned, and kind of keep your ear to the ground in that sense. And next thing is to look at communications. So what are the communications like across the organization? Are they going through the right channels? Are they disseminated in a clear way? And ensure your policies and procedures are in place, and again with the communications that they're communicated to employees, and make sure that they're being applied and followed. And then the last point just on the prevention is to consider too whether you can run an employee survey so that you can actually hear from the employees themselves what the experience is like working within the business. And don't be afraid of doing that, you know, don't be afraid to hear the results and don't be afraid to act on them. So thanks to Mary and Olivia for joining us today. That's it from us. Make sure to tune in next week to the second episode in this two-part series, where we will be discussing what to do when it seems that your workplace might be in danger of becoming a toxic environment.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.